You've broken that knobbly bit on the side of your ankle. Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today I just have a quick etymological journey which relates to the ankle, but also the ear. I've talked here before about my love of the eponym and the etymology of medical words, and how it can help to paint a picture for the patient when describing certain injuries or conditions. Now, often when talking to patients about their ankle x-rays, I will refer to the lateral and medial malleoli as those knobbly bits on the side. This has always sufficed, and it's never occurred to me to ask why they were called malleoli. I might have read it sometime in the past, but it has long since left my brain, so I decided to look it up. Well, it turns out that malleolus is Latin and the diminutive of the word malleus. And we all know the malleus of the ear, together with its colleagues, incus and stapes, but most kids are taught about the hammer, anvil and stirrup. So malleus is the hammer and malleolus is a little hammer. It had not occurred to me until now that this also explains the terms mallet and malleable, which was interesting, but it didn't strike me immediately as to why this would be in keeping with the ankle. Now, apparently the Proto-Indo-European root of the word malleus is mele, M-E-L-E, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, which means to grind, and it has connections to other words such as mill, molar, as in teeth, and also amyloid. Interestingly, amyloid is a German word meaning starch-like, and amyloidosis was so named because early on the protein aggregates were mistaken for starch. But I digress. So reading the root word of mele, I did at first wonder if this had any connection with the French word melee, meaning hand-to-hand combat fighting. I thought perhaps people kicked during these fights and that the knobbly bits of the ankle had a role in the kicking, and that might be where the connection came from. But it seems that this actually has a very different derivation in French, and on further delving, it's actually the Belgian anatomist Andreas Vesalius, who lived from 1514 to 1564, who was the person that first used the term malleolus. Now they wrote, among a lot of other things, De Humane Corporis Fabrica, which is an anatomy textbook that really did advance anatomy beyond a lot of the ancient misconceptions, and it is considered an extremely important work. And apparently Vesalius thought that malleoli looked like a little hammer, or a hammerhead, and so the name stuck. I must say I do not think of a hammer when I look at the ankle, but then again, if you've ever watched 2001 A Space Odyssey, you can certainly imagine a primitive man using a tibia as a hammer back in the Stone Age. Now, leading on from this, my thoughts then turned naturally to the epicondyles of the distal humerus, and I wondered if this was all connected, but apparently these simply mean knuckle in Latin. So that's where my little etymological journey wrapped up. It does fascinate me how the human body is named from a mix of Latin, Greek, English, French and many other languages, all mixed in with some eponyms, and that to the layperson this medical language might seem very complicated and very exotic. But in reality, when we tell our patient they have a medial malleolus fracture, we might as well tell them that they have broken the hammer-like protuberance in their lower ankle on the inside. It seems that our medical language is kind of just smoke and mirrors, and so by calling it the knobbly bit on the outside, it's not only easier for our patients to understand, but also keeping quite faithful to the spirit in which our anatomical ancestors went about naming things. Look, that's the little anvil, and that's the little stirrup. Oh look, a hammer. Perhaps medicine would be more accessible to our patients if they realised we were just using a very fancy descriptive language that often is no different to the simple language that we all use to talk about the body. Anyway, I hope you find some way of utilising this information in your future practice. We'll be back again next week with another podcast. I look forward to seeing you all then. But for now, thanks for listening.